A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I am your host and GM this week, Ben Meredith. And with me today, I have...
Ben Meredith.
Ben Meredith.
Ben Meredith.
And Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Grizzoptric at Amsterdam.
Zoya.
Jolvar Stornassen.
And Zolf Smith. Who's yes. been smoking for ages and has gone northern.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know where he is.
Northern Zolf. We love it.
I can't do Somerset.
This is Zolf met in a Grimsby pub 30 years after the campaign has ended.
As long as it's regional.
It's not going to be. It's going to be all over the place. I can't do Zolf.
But as you may have guessed, this is the fabled and much asked for Ben Quest, but not as you might have imagined it. Because yes, us at the Rusty Quill don't want to give you anything truly nice.
We have a very core company principle: give people what they think they want in a way they won't enjoy.
The monkey's paw, its finger, yeah. It curls.
But hopefully you will enjoy this. But yes, so this week we are going to be playing the Root RPG by Magpie Games. As of recording, they've successfully funded a Kickstarter, but it's not out yet. So I am using the pay what you want quick start rules, which you can get from their website or DriveThruRPG. It's pretty comprehensive. I'm running a recorded game off of it. So it's, you know, there's a lot you need there, but it looks like they're going to be adding a lot of stuff in the actual release. But it's a Powered by the Apocalypse game. And also, as you may have noticed, oh, this isn't going to be set in the RQG universe. And the answer is no, I'm not getting involved, because then we'd have to come up with like justifications for why they're all here. And it's just too complicated. So I've decided to ignore the problem.
Stop thinking about it. You're thinking about it. Don't think about it.
It's an AU.
It is. It is an AU. It's a piece of... We are writing our own AU fanfic, which is Woodlands Edition. Right. So... The Root RPG is set in a universe, it's based off the board game, but it's set in a universe where the world we play in is the woodland, and there are a number of clearings within that woodland. There's a lot of interesting rules in the back for creating your own woodland and the ongoing campaign of war between the Marquisate, which are a bunch of cats, and the Eerie Dynasties, who are a bunch of birds. But we're not going to really be worrying about any of that, because it's a one-shot, so just do what we want. Whee!
Yay!
So, the way... that I want to start this is mildly in media res, and I'm going to give you an opening situation and just allow you to flow from there. So what has just happened is you stumble out of the woodland on the borders of the forest pass into the clearing of Thornwall. So Thornwall is a clearing which is mainly controlled by rabbits, who are the dominant species in this clearing. There is a significant fox population, who is kind of the second most dominant species, and as well as, you know, just various individuals of various species. You know, there is always, you know, people immigrating and moving around the woodland. You are playing as vagabonds. So specifically, most denizens will stay in their clearing because it's the safe places. The woodland itself is very dangerous. You know, it's large and thick. What I'm saying is it's a himbo of a landscape. but it's just very dangerous. The woodland itself is very dangerous. You are supposed to stick to the path, and the clearings are the places where people live. And so they are very important, which is why the Eerie Dynasties and the Marquisate, which again, we're not worrying about, but I want to kind of introduce the world of Root as well, because it's a cool setting that I like quite a lot, are warring over. You four are, yeah, as I said, vagabonds. You live outside this kind of social structure. You are very itinerant. You move from place to place, taking jobs where you will. The sort of title of vagabond does not express a morality. You know, you can be horrible mercenaries, bandits, or vigilantes, people who fight for justice throughout. It just means you have no sort of fixed clearing, fixed home.
I'm a peripatetic headache.
Yes. Because this is very much the animals of Farthing Wood, right? Or Watership Down.
Oh,
or,
no,
you know,
it's going to be really sad. Mm. We're all going to die because of climate. Oh, well, I guess that's... Anyway, what does peripatetic mean?
Traveling from place to place, especially in a working capacity. It's my job to go to places and be a headache for people, then move on.
Got it.
Shooting them in the knees as I go.
So an important aspect of this is that we do not have a tiefling, an orc, a goblin and a dwarf, because these are the versions of the characters as they would exist in this universe. It also means this is a setting without magic. So, you know, don't expect wild barbarians or clerics or paladins, because obviously Tialvar's whole thing was luck, which is not magic. But again, they don't have luck. Well, they do actually have kind of luck
is so literally actually, a stat on this sheet.
Tialvar is probably the most accurate. But yeah.
What I'm hearing is that Lay on Hands is now right out.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, don't expect any of the healing or anything like that. It's just, you know, we've taken the characters and the personalities and transplanted them into the closest equivalents that we could. So, you stumble out of the woodlands. You've just done a job. Mm. I'm not going to dictate the nature of this job, because we can kind of find out what kind of vagabonds you are through play. But your pockets are heavy with gold, but not as much gold as you might have wanted. You were waylaid, something went wrong, and you had to escape into the deep woodlands. You have made it out, you are relatively safe, but you're very much in need of rest and recuperation and shelter, and Thornwall might just give that to you. So, as you burst out of the woodland into the clearing, you're right on the outskirts. You're sort of in the areas where there are, you know, the felled trees where they've started to expand the clearing. And you can see ahead of you, given this is a rabbit, mainly rabbit clearing, there are a lot of warrens, which are semi-underground settlements. I'm thinking sort of hobbit holes. So they're like houses, but they're built into the sides of tree roots and stuff like that. So this clearing itself, there are a couple of large trees which have been saved, and the clearings themselves are quite large. This is a town with probably about 1,000 people which is, you know, it's a decent sized settlement. Actually, the scale of this civilization is not massively clear. But, you know, if we're doing Animals of Farthingwood, it's very pastoral. It's very, you know, like small rural kind of stuff. But you have these networks of warrens, and then amongst them are these large sort of brick factories, which are belching out smoke, which will be the work of probably the foxes. It says in the rulebook that these each species kind of has certain sort of cultural touchstones, and, you know, there are professions which are passed down through family lineages. So it's absolutely not a case of like, oh, every rabbit does X or Y or, every whatever. It's just, but there are certain like predispositions, especially due to the differing physiologies of these species. Like, for example, birds can fly. That's quite handy, and they tend to live in trees, you know. So the rabbits tend to be broadly bakers and bankers. They are good at administration, or they tend towards that kind of thing. And the foxes tend towards metalwork, which is where these factories are from. It's very much not a Princess Mononoke style of like, oh, no, industry's overtaken the peaceful forest. Although that is, to a certain extent, a theme in this game. This clearing itself seems quite well managed. You know, there is a good balance of industry to, you know, care. It seems like a reasonably sustainable place. What I mean is, from your character eyes, as you burst through, it's not like, oh, somebody's really screwed this place up. It's like, no, this seems about reasonable. So yeah, do you have any other questions, or do you just want to head into town to try and find somewhere to sleep?
No, I think
I'm good.
I think we're okay.
Yeah. Oh, friends, we have made it to safety. This is such a relief. There must be a inn or something similar nearby where we can rest.
We should immediately hit up a baker. They get like amazing rolls here. Really good. Delicious.
Right. Should we split up then? You can go to a baker and I'll go look for an inn or something.
I'm sure an inn would offer food as well as shelter.
Yeah, but you know what Grizzop's like.
Well, why don't we just go to the nearest one, immediately go to that one, and then we'll see what happens there.
I mean, I just think that there's a bit more to consider than dashing up and taking the first thing on offer. Well, yes, I know. If we'd done what I said, then we would still have those relics. We wouldn't have sold them off to the first buyer, and we wouldn't be in this mess.
But because we sold the relics, we've got the gold, so now we can go to the nearest inn.
Yes.
Right, I'm off to the pub. Zolf the Badger begins to walk away from his...
Oh! What a good thing that I should have asked you to do. Could you please describe your characters? Helen, you go first, since you're the one who actually remembered this really critical piece of information that we should establish about the campaign.
Okay, so we're in a world where everybody is woodland animals, and Zolf is a badger and a... arbiter, which is a powerful, obstinate vagabond, somewhere between a mercenary and a protector. You haven't circled any of the looks on the sheet, so I'm going to go with man, scarred, repaired clothes, brusque demeanour.
Yeah, that all scans.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is one thing. Obviously, the look is there as guidelines, but again, because you're playing characters who are like previously established, feel free to just completely riff on whatever you want. But yeah, do you want to very actually quickly go through the moves that I've given Zolf?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, these are interesting.
This is PBTA, so I probably should actually have described the moves in general, but let's do this and then I'll continue to do my job. This is going very well. Good job, Ben.
You're doing great. Don't you dare. Right, so first off, you have to choose your nature, and Zolf the Badger's nature is Defender, which means that when I defend someone who cannot defend themselves from a threat, I get to wipe out exhaustion. I have 4 exhaustions. I have drives of justice and honour, and my moves are that I'm hardy, which means I can take an additional injury and then heal automatically whenever time passes or we go on a journey. I have Weapon Master, which means I can improvise a weapon. Like, if I pick something up and intend to hit someone with it, then I get to say this is the range of it, and I get to give it 1 additional tag. So if I pick up a piece of wood with a nail in it, I'm saying this is short-ranged and piercing, perhaps.
Yeah, And I made those decisions because Zolf has loads of hit points and has a habit of losing his equipment.
It does. The other one, the major one really, is Guardian, which is when you defend someone or something from an immediate threat, roll with might. On a hit, I keep them safe and choose one of the options. On a 7-9, then I expose myself to danger or escalate the situation in addition.
Good stuff. Actually, it's a good point. I should probably very quickly go over the systemic elements of this for the audience and also for you guys. But you'll have noticed on the top right-hand corner of the sort of business side of the character sheet, you have three tracks of injury, exhaustion, and decay. These are all types of harm that I can inflict on you. So the PBTA, just concept of harm, which is a bad thing occurring to the character. Injury is physical harm. Exhaustion is your, you know, will to go on, and just basically, I mean, it's exhaustion, right? It's you're not necessarily hurt, but you are very tired to the point where you may not be able to act anymore. And decay is your equipment. Because you are vagabonds, it's something that you have to care about, and because you might be, you know, adventuring into the woodlands, if something breaks, this can be a big deal. The other things are, yes, the five stats that you have available to you is charm, cunning, finesse, luck, and might. I think those are broadly self-explanatory for what they do. There's nothing surprising in the descriptions of what they cover. And just for the audience, Helen, can you go over what is Zolf's highest and lowest stat?
Zolf's highest stat is might and his lowest stat is luck, which does scan, yes.
Yeah, I considered fiddling around and making it charm, but I thought bad luck was probably just, you know, a little better. Who would like to go next?
Chilvar is a thief, which I think is appropriate because, you know, archaeologists are, you know, so named only because they have official papers.
the privateers of digging things up.
Yes, yes. So as a thief, they're a raccoon. I think that works. Big pointy ears. Their look is man. Chilvar. That's what a man sounds like. And they are they're somewhere between inconspicuous and flamboyant, you know, like the cape over the big black cape over the shoulder is cut well, but it blends into the shadow.
Flamscipuous or incombloyant?
Incombloyant,
definitely.
Understood. Definitely, absolutely. The cloak swishes very nicely and then it becomes a shadow. Their demeanor is friendly. They're friendly because you might fund their next exhibition. their highest stat is finesse and their lowest one is might, so I will not be punching anyone. Their nature is kleptomaniac. Clear your exhaustion track when you selfishly steal something valuable or important. Oh, they love it.
Definitely really putting the boot in an archaeologist when I was building this.
Well, I mean, they're not really rebellious. That doesn't work, does it? It's just like kleptomaniac.
Yeah, no,
ooh,
I know.
That belongs in a museum.
History.
Yeah.
That belongs in my museum.
And the museum is my backpack. Their drives are ambition. So I advance whenever my reputation increases, and thrills. So they just love thrills.
Yeah, as a quick thing, actually, with those ones, those cover your advances. Mm-hmm. We're probably not going to be using them just because it's a one shot. But they, you know, they're useful for like the whole.
Cool. One thing I don't understand, I've got my weapon skills and it says I've got trick shot, but my equipment doesn't have a weapon markdown. Do I have a weapon?
Oh, no, you've got a dagger or a staff. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Oh, so is that you? So I don't need to tick it. That's just what I have. I have a dagger.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Right. So the equipment that is you can take damage to equipment instead of taking decay.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Cool. I get it.
And when an equipment is fully ticked off, it breaks and you have to get it repaired.
So my chainmail has three boxes, and I could, for instance, take those rather than injury if I was being hit by stuff.
Yes.
Cool. I get it. My moves are breaking and entering, which I think is self-explanatory. Also, Master Thief, which is pretty self-explanatory. And Rope-a-Dope, which is not self-explanatory. So when I evade my enemy, I roll with finesse, which is good. And I make them exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I can tire an enemy out by wiggling. Wiggling.
That's my preferred combat tactic. Wiggle, 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 go away. Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
I'm wiggling with style.
Oh, no, that's not how I do it at all.
All right, yeah. That's cool. So that's what Chelva does, wiggles with style in a black cape.
Good stuff. One thing I am actually going to say, Lydia, is that I think we should swap the staff out for a bow. Because that's kind of was Tjelvar's signature weapon, and I neglected to do that.
That's cool.
So its range is far, and its special move is trick shot.
Cool, got it. Yeah.
And lose the blunted quality, because it definitely deals harm, not exhaustion, or injury, not exhaustion.
Okay.
Cool. Alex or Bryn?
So I am playing Zoya. We have decided that Zoya is allowed to be a wolf, which is not commonly part of the species of creature allowed in this game. But much like Zoya was a lone tiefling in a world mostly without them, we've decided to make a little special exception. And much like Zoya's tiefling nature in the previous universe, the wolf has streaks of unnaturally red fur running through their normal fur and stands out as something pretty unusual. Zoya is obviously a she and is large, not large for a wolf, but just large compared to the other characters, and sort of repaired old clothes, but the demeanor is quite honest. Zoya is also an arbiter, the same as Zolf, but instead of being the defender nature of arbiter, she is the punisher nature of arbiter, which means she clears exhaustion when she punishes a villain for their grievous wrongdoing. Her drives are justice and honour, and her moves are brute, which simply increases her might, and might is plus three, her best skill, luck minus one being her worst. Other moves are carry a big stick, meaning she can basically threaten other characters to cease arguing or to stop fighting, and crash and smash, meaning she can break through environmental problems in order to reach a place she needs to. She's also equipped with a great sword and plate armor.
Good stuff. Oh, and that's one thing, Helen. Obviously, with because you're also an arbiter, you have a great sword. It's a glaive.
Okay,
just,
good.
It's same stat line, excellent. But it's a glaive.
Glaives are
it's
just a great sword.
It's just a fantastic sword.
Oh, it's lovely. Good stuff.
Wonderful.
And Alex?
Grisoptric at Amsterdam, extremely angry weasel, also ranger.
Just very quickly, I'm going to need you to say Grisoptric at Amsterdam in that voice, because both times you said Angsterdam.
So this is not the core story, so I am from Angsterdam. It is actually
okay, that's a different clearing.
Upon the
that's
river that
okay,
is known for a particularly sad beaver. I am from Angsterdam.
That's absolutely unacceptable.
You'll notice that I am uncharming, which sounds about right to Alex. I am very cunning. I am full of finesse, which mostly translates to causing trouble. My nature is loner in that I clear my exhaustion whenever I enter a dangerous situation alone without backup or assistance in a way that begrudges Ben GMing. That's definitely written there specifically. My drives are freedom in that I advance whenever I free a group of denizens from oppression. Fair enough. Revenge, name your foe, Ben. You advance when you cause significant harm to them or their interests. My weapon skills are Harry. My moves are forager. Whenever I travel to or pass into a forest, you can clear one box of decay by foraging for supplies. Darken blade. If my target's unaware of my position, unlikely because I don't intend to shut up. You may murder with weapons tag for close range instead of your intimate range. Anonymous, you can
very quickly. Murder is a specific special move that you can do.
Of course,
in
it
this
is.
Game.
It's called shoot your knees off. In my mind,
that okay. That one very explicitly didn't murder that man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That man was not murdered.
I don't even know what a man is. I mostly spend my time with forest animals, Benjamin.
It's not my name,
Ben. You've literally allowed Alex to be a goblin. Like
I know. I know.
Finally,
No. You all allowed Alex to be a goblin because no one else took
finally,
Grizzop,
like,
all right?
Just so, hurrying things along, you see, just hurrying things along. We've got Dirty Fighter. I take two of the following weapon skills. Murder, also known as shoot your knees off, and Vicious Strike, also known as shoot your knees off. And I'll be doing that with either my long sword, where I'll shoot your knees off with my long sword, my long bow, or chain armor. Thank you.
Oh, actually, that's a good point. Lid.
Yep.
Longbow actually has an established thing. So, sorry, for your longbow, you have four boxes.
Right.
The range is far, and the special move is Harry. In fact, I'm going to very quickly go through the moves as well, and then we'll take a break, I think, because we'll have done like the intro setup. Right, so notes on basic moves. So these are the general things that you can do. So you can persuade an NPC. So when you want to persuade an NPC with promises or threats, roll charm. On a 10+, they see things your way, provided you provide them with a strong motive or reasonable bribe, because people still need to, you know, get things to be convinced. It's not magic. On a 7 to 9, they aren't sure, and the GM will tell you what you need to sway them. You could figure something out. When you try and figure something out, roll with charm. On a 10+, hold 3. On a 7 to 9, hold 1. Hold in PBTA means that you basically have these floating points that you can then spend in the future on stuff. It's usually defined in the move, which it is now. And that is, while interacting with them, spend your hold 1 for 1 to ask their player a question. Is your character telling the truth? What is your character really feeling? What does your character intend to do? What does your character wish I'd do? Or how could I get your character to X? You can trick an NPC. When you do this, roll with cunning. On a 10+, they take the bait and do what you want. On a 7 to 9, they can instead choose 1. They hesitate, and but you shake their confidence or weaken their morale. They stumble, you gain a critical opportunity, or they overreact, take +1 forward against them.
What was that move one more time, sorry?
Trick an NPC.
Thank you.
Oh dear. But a forward means that when you roll to act within the situation that the forward is on, you get +1 to your dice pool. You can read a tense situation. When you read a tense situation, roll with cunning. On a 7 to 9, ask 1. On a 10+, ask 3. And take +1 forward when acting on the answers. What is my best way out, in, or through? Who or what is the biggest threat? Who or what is most vulnerable to me? What should I be on the lookout for? Or who is in control here? You could attempt roguish feats. When you attempt roguish feats to steal something, secure, sneak somewhere, or otherwise slip past security or notice, roll with finesse. On a 10+, you pick 1. On a 7 to 9, you pick 2. You don't have a clear path of escape. You use up some resource in the attempt, mark decay, or you leave evidence of your roguery behind. So this is one of those moves where you do the thing you want to do, and then fewer bad side effects occur the better you do, which is why you only pick 1 on a 10+, and you pick 2 on a 7 to 9. You can trust fate, so you roll with luck. On a hit, you scrape by, and the GM will tell you what it costs you. On a 10+, fortune favours the bold. Your panache earns you an easy escape or fleeting opportunity. You can wreck something. When you want to do that, roll with might. On a hit, you seriously break it, and it can't be used again until it's repaired. On a 7 to 9, you're imprecise and dangerous. You cause collateral damage, attract attention, or end up in a bad spot, which is my choice. Or you can help or interfere. When you help or interfere with another vagabond, mark exhaustion to add +1 or -2 to their roll after rolling. So you can do this to somebody you like or somebody you don't like to influence their roll. Mark exhaustion again to select one of the following. You conceal your aid or interference, or you create an opportunity or obstacle. Yeah, and then we have weapon moves, which I'm not going to go into straight away, but since we've gone through the special moves, I'm just going to very quickly say, you know, you've got the special to blind an opponent. So on a 10+, you they have to take some time to clean out their eyes before they can see clearly again. Or on a 7 to 9, you have just a few moments. You can cleave. So on a hit, smash through the defense and equipment, inflicting 3 decay. On a 7 to 9, you overextend your weapon or yourself, and you mark decay or end up in a bad spot. Your choice. This is going to be relevant for, I assume, Zoya. The special of disarm. On a hit, they have to mark 2 exhaustion or drop their weapon. On a 10+, they have to mark 3 exhaustion instead of 2. To harry a group, you roll with cunning. On a 10+, you get both of these effects. On a 7 to 9, choose 1. They suffer morale harm, which is a special NPC kind of harm, which is just a generic, like, I'm not important to have 3 tracks kind of harm. Or they are pinned or blocked. So that is what Grizzop can do with the longbow and Tailvar. Bow-based weapons. I liked them. It's almost like I played Tjelvar and then built Grizzop based on the experience of playing Tjelvar. Special of improvised weapon. On a hit, you roll with cunning, and on a hit, you make a weapon. And I give you some stats. The special murder. When you try to murder... murder a vulnerable NPC at intimate range, roll with cunning. On a hit, your foe just dies. Mm-hmm. On a 10+, you remain hidden or clear a path for your allies, your choice. I'm going to stop going through these so detailed. But you can parry, which is pretty obvious. Quick shot, you get to snapshot. Trick shot, you can take advantage of the environment to give you a benefit. Or vicious strike, so they suffer serious harm. Basically, it's just much more than your normal eye attack. And on that note of me speeding through a bunch of moves, which I'm sure is...
I approve!
Yeah, very interesting. But hopefully people are now a little bit more clear on what they are able to do, and the audience is a little bit clear on what we're able to do. We're going to take a break there.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi everyone, Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Malevolent, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Malevolent is a weekly horror fiction podcast filled with dark, noir, eldritch horror. Arkham private investigator Arthur Lester wakes up with no memory of who he is or what has happened, only a nameless, eerie voice guiding him through the darkness. Blind, terrified, and confused, his journey will lead him towards a series of mysteries in the hopes of understanding the truth of what has transpired. As cosmic horrors seep into the world, Arthur must ask himself whether this entity truly seeks to help him, or are its intentions more malevolent. Search for Malevolent wherever you listen to your podcasts, or visit www.rustyquill.com or www.malevolent.ca for more information. Have fun, and see you later.
And welcome back. So, everybody froze in time while we established what they looked like and what they could do in this world, and we're going to unfreeze as the group heads off to, I think, find a bakery slash pub.
I'm pretty certain we were doing my thing, because that's how I Grizzop roll.
That's very unfair.
It sounded to me like three of us were finding an inn and one of us was going off alone to find a bakery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since we now know that you are mechanically advantaged if you go off on your own.
I'm fine with this.
Ah, I curse this problem for myself. I am the clown in this situation.
Goodbye forever.
Okay. Salt of the Badger's Hill right now is to find a pub, so he's going to go and plant himself on that when he finds it. So if you're following, that's great.
Yeah.
I just want to say that that pub over there has much more interesting carvings and, I think, historical interest, which I think usually translates to a better meal and bed. It's just, if you look at the decorations, it's cool. So
we will get to Grizzop, but the pub that Tjelvar is pointing out is built into the root mound of a massive sort of twisted birch tree, and appropriately enough, the pub itself is called the Twisted Birch. It does look genuinely quite nice, and as they'd established, the kind of carvings, there appears to be sort of, what are they called? Dioramas.
Ooh.
But in art, there's another vignette, right?
A frieze?
I think it's a frieze.
Okay, yeah, different friezes of what appear to be sort of different generations of the same family. Sort of carved up and down. Effectively, it's a carven history of that pub.
What kind of family is it?
Rabbit.
Oh,
what's a rabbit?
Well, what you'll note here in these friezes is that you can't nick them because they're actually stuck into the wood. It's a very interesting technique that I've never had an opportunity to examine close up.
I agree with Tjelvar. It looks like an interesting pub, and clearly there's a lot of history to it. It would be nice to learn about some of it. Let's go.
Right, well, in we go.
Cool.
Zolf the Badger marches up to the pub door and opens it and goes inside.
Yeah. As you stride, I was going to say confidently, but more just like grumpily, into the pub, you are greeted by a lovely sort of warmth rolls out towards you. There's a soft orange light. This is built into the earth, so it's like it's very warm and cozy to the point where it could almost be cloying if you had to stay here for too long. Like, it's you've gone for a walk in the Peak District and you found an old stone pub. And this is the vibe that it gives off. That's a very universal experience that I'm sure everybody listening will understand. And at that point, I think we'll quickly scoot over to Grizzop the Weasel. What is Grizzop up to?
Grizzop is going to the nearest bakery to get bakery things.
Okay, yeah, so again, this is a rabbit-dominated clearing. So there are an awful lot of food stalls, like either established in warrens or stalls that are set out. This is a thriving market town with a reasonably sized trading post as well. So if you want good pastries, you're definitely in the right place for it. Now, as you stride in, people are giving you weird looks. This is not something that you like is surprising to you. As vagabonds, you are vaguely mistrusted because, again, like this, like the whole society of the woodland is very much about staying put where it's safe and putting down roots.
Yep.
And you are people who have refused to do that, which is always a little bit, you know, concerning because they don't know what your deal is. So you get some funny looks and you very quickly find yourself in a bustling market. There are so many food stalls in front of you. What kind of thing?
What's the nearest food stall?
The nearest food stall is selling a variety of vegetarian pies.
I want your best vegetarian pie, please.
Yes, that'll be 2 gold, please.
Great.
The rabbit behind the counter is kind of like giving you a look that is saying, I want you to produce this before I give anything to you. Like, prove you're good for it. They're not outright saying it, but...
Do we have a problem here? I'm pretty certain my money's as good as anyone else's money here, right?
The stall owner kind of puts down the pie that they had in their hands, sighs and goes, yes, but I don't know you, and that means I don't trust you. All I want to know is that when I hand this pie over to you, you're not going to scarper.
I've never scarpered anywhere in my life. I scoot. I dump my money on the counter and go, but I hope this is a lesson in judging people before you know them. Thank you very much. Honestly, you need to realise that there is more to people than just your first impressions.
The stall owner has a completely perplexed and like overwhelmed look of just like this is a much more intense interaction than I expected.
That exactly is what I was going for.
Yeah, that's
and I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm going to take my pie now and I'm going to leave, but I want you to know that you're lucky I didn't murder you for not trusting me. And then Grizzop leaves.
Goodness me.
Oh no.
You gave me Grizzop. I'm real sorry, but
Ben,
you gave
quickly
me
rewriting the plot to be okay, and how are you driven out of town?
Yeah. I'll just quickly rewrite some stuff. Yeah, as you leave, you're like the rabbit is talking to a mouse who is helping them out, being like, what on earth were you? What was that?
Grizzop's immediately now going to go rejoin the rest of the group because he's got his pie.
Where's the rest of the group?
Don't know.
In the pub.
Oh, I know where the rest of the group is.
It's fine, but... I'll just check every pub.
fine. Fine. Okay. What are... We're flicking back to...
Wise.
The collective...
Yep.
Step into the pub. Ooh. What is your... There's very much... There's a little bit of the whole, you know, Western tavern. You walk in, everyone stops and looks at you.
Hello! We are looking for beds for this night and potentially others. Do you have any beds?
We would much appreciate a meal as well, if we can purchase such a thing.
Yeah, and there is this a large, quite rotund white rabbit behind the bar. And she sort of leans forward and goes, oh yeah, no, I can help you out with some of that. Welcome to Twisted Birch.
Hello!
This is a fine and beautiful establishment.
Beautiful history freezes.
Oh, right.
All right, then, how much?
How much? Oh, well, it's, you know, 5 gold a night for each of you. And very quickly, I don't know what the economy is like in this game. That is a perfectly reasonable ask for a room.
I was going to say, what a good and or terrible deal.
Yeah, people are aware of like how it works, but I'd be like, this is an exorbitant fee. You could buy an army for that. But I don't know. That's what 5 gold is in my version of Root.
That sounds like a reasonable price, reflecting the local economy. Well done, and thank you.
Absolutely. Now, we are well known for our very good value sort of stuff. Of course, that's going to be room and board. Are you going to want to eat now, or are you going to get to your rooms and freshen up a bit? And she'll give you a bit of a look, because you do all look, like, pretty dirty and beat up, because you've been, like, running through the woodlands.
I would certainly appreciate the chance to freshen up before a meal. What do you think?
Sure.
Well, I think you probably... Oh, no, sorry, you weren't talking to me.
Sure, let's freshen up.
Yep, whatever.
Are you all right, Zolf? You seem displeased.
That's just his face.
I'm not displeased. Got no real opinion.
Good, good. I am glad.
Let's just get this over with and we'll be on with the next thing.
Zolf, is it?
Yep.
All right, no, I like to know the names of my customers. I'm Betty. You know, I'm proprietor of the Twisted Brooch.
Hello, Betty. I am... Chelvar.
Oh, what a lovely voice you have. Very,
thank you. I got it from YouTube.
Oh, right. I assume that's some kind of prestigious academy or something.
Kind of. That's one way to put it.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Betty. My name is Zoya. We are also expecting our last friend, Mr. Grizzop, to join us in the very near future. I will give a brief physical description of Grizzop. So if he comes in and we are in a room or in the bathing chamber, then please let him know that we are here. Here is the money for both myself and him.
Zolf interrupts and he's like, look, you'll know him when you see him. There's no... You can't miss Grizzop. Let's put it
right,
like that.
Very good. All right, yeah, no, fair enough. Well, thanks very much. If you go and, you know, have a chat to my daughter, she's just round the back chopping some wood, she'll be able to show you to your rooms. Obviously, I can't leave the bar because,
yes,
you know,
of course.
People need drinks. Anyway, yeah, enjoy your stay, and what do you want, about an hour before I get your food ready?
That sounds ideal.
Yes. Wonderful.
All right, and you eating down here or in your rooms?
Down here. It's lovely to absorb the atmosphere, don't you think, my friends?
Yes,
I slipped away from Matt Berry. I'm now into announcer.
There's a difference.
Just do whatever, Lid.
It's fine.
Chelvar's voice was all over the place.
It's all over the place. Let's go.
I agree with Chelvar.
Okay. Do you want to head out back?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you head out back and you find Betty's daughter, who is also a rabbit, chopping wood in the back. She's a lot skinnier and a lot taller than her mother, and when you appear, she sort of buries the axe in the chopping board and says, hey, can I help?
Yes, we've been sent here to get clean and rooms.
Right, well, I ain't going to be bathing you,
no.
But I assume my mum wants to...
No,
you want rooms?
We know. Yes. Ignore... Yep, just show us our rooms, please.
Right. And she kind of walks you around. And the way this pub is built is that the sort of main room is the majority of the mound. And then out the back, there are a number of like other little doors, almost like small apartments, which are each individual rooms. She kind of then hands you each a key and you can each take one of the rooms.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Oh, do they have en suites? There's not a bathhouse that we... cool. Fancy. Fancy pub, I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, there is a tub and a discreet bucket.
Cool.
Because this is an industrializing kind of place.
I see.
But it's not fully industrial. So again, that's actually quite good.
Better than the wilderness.
Exactly. It's better than the woods. The rooms are warm. The rooms are pleasant. Actually, one thing that the daughter, because we didn't get a name, will provide you with some warm buckets of water to fill your bath with.
This pub is great.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, no, we pride ourselves on our service, so, you know. Good stuff. Enjoy your bath.
Zolf says nothing and goes inside his room.
Charming.
See, now you're being Zolf, Ben.
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Chelvar catches the daughter bunny as they go off and like, actually, that's a great reaction from him. You've got our gratitude.
Really?
Oh, yes. It's been great fun.
Right, you know, I ain't judging you for the company you keep, but, oof, what a barrel of laughs. And yeah.
He is a valued companion, even if sometimes he finds things a little hard to cope with.
Sure. Oh, Isabella, by the way. If you need anything, just yell and I'll be able to help you
Thank
out.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Isabella.
You.
I'm Zoya and this is Tjelvar.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Lovely.
Yeah, and then you guys can just kind of get into your rooms, freshen yourselves up. If you had exhaustion and decay, I'd be like, oh, you can get some of it back. But I didn't bother, so it's fine. Slam cut to half an hour later, and Grizzop bursts through the door of the Twisted Birch, which is the 10th pub that he's been to.
Good. That does feel very Grizzop. I approve of that.
It's almost like I know how the characters work.
Hello, have any weirdos been in here yet?
Grizzop, is it?
Yes, hello.
I have met your weirdos, yes. No, they've got rooms and they've paid for it. It's been here about half an hour.
Oh, fantastic.
Actually, I think... Oh, Isabella left me the key, and this is Betty, and she pops the key on the front. Rooms are just round back. They're numbered. I think you've got number 5.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
Yeah, they're going to be taking dinner in this room in about... Well, I think you've got about half an hour.
Half an hour? All right, yeah, that's like 6 baths. Thank you very much, Betty.
Yep. Oh, no, thank you, Grizzop.
Bye.
Cheerio.
Grizzop runs upstairs for a series of baths.
Out back, sorry.
Yeah, otherwise that's going to make a bit of a mess. Fair point.
Starts digging through the roof. There is just, you know, after 5 minutes after Grizzop heads out back to his room, you hear banging, crashing. From, yeah.
Oh, soap.
So, we'll move on to, you are all sat at your table. You're as fresh and as clean as you wanted to get yourselves. Actually, yeah, that's a good point. How have you all brushed up?
My armour is especially shiny. That concludes my my brushing up.
So that was what the soap was for.
Kjellvar has picked all of the brambles that were in his fur and has brushed his fluffy raccoon tail to a gorgeous shine.
Nice.
Oiled it, waxed it. I don't know what one does with a raccoon tail to make it fluffy and good.
So I have fully dunked into a warm tub of water several times and then shook off in the most extravagant and pleasurable way possible, and so is now looking extra fluffy. And she spent the rest of the time carefully making repairs to her clothing and equipment, because it's important to look after. So it's not, like, polished, so it doesn't look great, but it will stand up to further wear and tear.
Good stuff.
Zolf had a long soak and re-plaited... Wait, it's a badger.
Badger can have a beard if you want a badger to have a beard.
Yeah, re-plaited his little beard. Yeah. Yes, and he's clean and functional. That's fine.
Lovely. And you have sat down to a delicious meal of vegetables, and meat has been provided for the carnivals. This is, you know, that, like, one of the things is that although you have animals, there are also animals without, you know, human-level sentience, which, you know, we're not dealing with the ethical ramifications of sentient animals. This is not Zootopia.
Sounds like one of those things where people have started thinking about it, Ben, and that's not the goal here. Yeah.
The goal is to mock you.
A delicious meal of diet-appropriate food. Yeah, and so this is a good chance for you to kind of plan your next move. Like, around you, there are, you know, there's a group of rabbits at the bar who've obviously just got off work because it's moving on to later evening. There is a young pair, a fox and a rabbit, sort of ensconced in the corner, kind of whispering quietly to one another in a very intense kind of conversation. And, yeah, there's also another badger who's sat back by the fire on their own, very much not paying attention to anybody else. And this is the kind of scene you're in. It is very warm, it is very cosy, it's quite friendly, but there's that nice burble of talk in the pub.
It's really nice here, eh?
Yes. Doesn't seem like the kind of place where there would be many quests. It's all very lovely. I'm sure that that's not just surface deep.
There's always more to find just by exploring into the forest. We don't need a specific task, as it were, but obviously it may behoove us to ask around and see if anyone needs tasks completed out in the forest.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that was a lovely half-hour break, but I'm ready to get back out there now, yes.
I would appreciate a proper night's sleep in a real bed for once.
Oh, well, to each their own.
How about you head out this evening? And we'll have a lovely nap.
I do think it would be better if we were to all stick together. We work well as a team.
Oh, it's fine. I'll just, you know, play solitaire.
By play solitaire, do you mean cause a ruckus?
I promise not yes. to try to cause a ruckus.
You don't need to try hard.
Result, no ruckus causing.
Fine. In that case, then, we may as well get our cards in now. Right. Angsterdam Hold'em.
That is in and out of character. That side.
Grizzop absolutely, unless Ben denies it, will break out a deck of cards to play with people while we're in the inn.
Oh, no, you can entirely. Of course you can. I just don't appreciate Angsterdam Hold'em. But that's on Alex, not on Grizzop.
Here's the thing is, I'm always going to double down on any mistake you point out. So, in a lot of ways, just tell me I'm perfect and we'll all be grand.
Absolutely never. That's written on my soul. Yes, yeah, so Grizzop busts out some cards. Are you playing amongst yourselves, or are you trying to get other denizens involved?
Going to invite other people, because how else would you win money off people?
Ah.
If there's one thing that Grizzop likes more than betting, it's apparently losing at gambling, and I still don't know why, but that is an established Grizzop fact.
Yeah, I think he played
Alex.
He played games with Sasha for a long time and did not realise she was cheating. I think. I remember that. That was a good time. Everyone was happy back then.
That's
why
exactly
did things
what
change.
That's exactly you know? What I'm going for.
It's a shame what? You can't keep nice things.
Yeah, well, some people decide to go to Rome, even though it was a really bad idea.
I don't know. Very silly, very silly.
That hurts me.
Zoya will half-heartedly play the card game, but she's not really paying much attention, and she's certainly too sensible to lose very much money on it, because she'd like to pay attention to the chatter going on, and if Isabella or Betty have a quiet moment, she might steal a quick chat with either of them.
Good stuff. And what's Zolf up to, Helen?
I'm having a think, because I can't just have him sulking all the time.
I mean, I've done that for 200 episodes. It's easy to watch that
I think that Zolf is not playing, but he's keeping an eye on everyone who is to make sure that everyone is playing fair.
Ooh.
And he is specifically keeping an eye on Grizzop to make sure that Grizzop is not going to start fighting anybody anytime soon.
Good stuff.
Sort of doing a bit of a hover.
Yeah.
That motivation is what Chelvar relies on in order to get away with cheating.
Yeah. Great. So it sounds like Chelvar is attempting a roguish feat.
Well, I thought that would I need to persuade an NPC to join before I get to...
Oh, very good point. So I'm not going to require a move for that, but you kind of do a whip round. Yeah. You get a couple of the bunnies at the bar.
Okay.
And the badger. The bunny and the fox in the corner are very much very much involved with one another.
They're busy.
Are they on a date?
They're busy. You kind of get, I don't know, they're on a very conspiratorial date.
Okay.
You're getting date-ish vibes, but they're not obviously like, you know, gazing lovingly into one another's eyes. They're planning something, you know.
You know, we're vagabonds. We know that bonds are forged in high-stress situations. If you want to nail someone down, if you want to get that relationship moving, then what better to do than embark on a thievery quest? Really, that's how Chelva's got all their conquests.
Look, the dummy thick thicket hides all sins.
So, for Tjelvar, then, I feel like, let's not bother with a move,
mm-hmm.
but what are you're trying to trick people, right?
Yeah, over the course of the evening, I would not like this to be a, like, dramatic, Tjelvar has piles of money up, but, you know, he just wants to make sure that he's on the winning edge. Be 10 or so gold up by the end, that'd be nice.
Good stuff, so please roll with cunning.
Right.
So, for people who are unfamiliar with PBTA, it usually runs off of your old 2d6. On a 10+, that's a like critical or absolute success or hit. So it kind of goes off and it's as good as it could be. A 7 to 9 is a hit with consequences, and a 6 or lower is a failure, which usually means that I, as the GM, get to narrate something going wrong.
I have rolled a 7.
Okay, fine. So, yeah, over the course of the evening, you do manage to accrue a reasonable amount of gold. As you say, it's within, you know, you're not being extravagant about this.
Mm.
One of the bunnies is like, this isn't working for me, and leaves, kind of lowering the potential pool. And by the end of the evening, the badger, you don't know if they know you're cheating as such, but they seem very displeased. Now, that could just generally be they're annoyed with losing money, or it could be something else. You're not quite sure.
It's cool. I crushed the plot hook. I found the hook, saw the lovely shiny hook, and I went bam, 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 bam.
Grizzop is just cheerfully being part of this, as you said, like that he's not trying to win money. He's just enjoying being about.
He's mostly trying to make sure that there's as many hands as possible.
Sure, sure. Very much being the Justicar of time. Zolf sitting back, it seems to all be going reasonably pleasantly, or as pleasantly as it could do with a group of vagabonds in a new clearing. And for Zoya, you're trying to get some stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, so as I said, half-heartedly playing the game, expecting to lose 1 or 2 gold probably, but listening to the conversation and potentially trying to steal a chat with either Isabella or Betty, if possible.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Betty is well up for a chat, being, you know, the barman. That's kind of her job.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just if it's busy, I don't want to sort of impose upon her if she's having to do huge amounts.
No. The pub is full, but it's consistent.
Yeah. So I'll chat a bit about the freeze and about maybe the history of the place, but I mean, fundamentally, I'm kind of going to get the message across that I think this clearing is very nice and pleasant and this is a lovely bar, but it is, you know, our fate to be wanderers, and whether she knows of anyone in town who might, you know, need something doing out in the forest.
Yeah, so Betty is... Thornwall in and of itself is actually quite a stable clearing. There are concerns because, you know, after they managed to take control away from the Eerie dynasties when they had their civil war and leadership crisis, they've managed to stay independent. But now the Marquisate is closing in and the Eerie dynasties kind of want what they want. So there's nothing going wrong in the clearing, but everyone's just... There's a ramp up of tension because people know that it's going to break bad at some point, and probably at some point soon, which means people are generally on edge.
Yeah.
And that also... There seems to be a bit of a rift forming between the older generations and the newer generations, because the older generations very much want to keep what they had and the newer generations are trying to forge something new. This is not a new story,
yeah.
But because of the rising tensions in the air, it's starting, there are moments of boiling over, like family tension, stuff like that. So she says that some people might want some help with that, but, you know, they don't have any big crises that are on.
Yeah, I'll just have a pleasant conversation then about the town and its history a bit alongside that too.
Good stuff. All right. And on that note, as you spend quite an actual pleasant evening, given your own flavours of shenanigans in the Twisted Birch, you head to bed and settle down, enjoying the fact that for once you're in a proper bed with a proper pillow. It's actually warm. And there isn't, as far as you know, the threat of being mauled by a bear in the night.
Bored
and
now.
I think I'll end the episode there.
Yep. Bored now. Bored
so nice. Look how when Ben's GM, he gives us nice things.
It's an anti cliffhanger. It's like you've rolled to the bottom of a soft, warm, sandy slope.
Oh, I don't know. Helen played in the Monster of the Week game I ran, and we all know how that ended.
Oh,
as
yeah.
did Alex. But, you know, Alex didn't really engage with the plot. He just kind of bounced around like a pinball asking for burgers.
How I roll!
Yeah. All right, everyone. Bye!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online. Tweet.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.
Us at the Rusty Quill. Visit us on Facebook or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. So keep your hands to yourself, Helen. That's what I'm saying. Just less of the laying on hands.
Oh, right. Right. Okay. Yeah.
I'm being filthy, Helen. I'm being filthy.
No,
don't mind me.
No, that confuses me.
Zolf doesn't have lay on hands, but Grizzop does, Alex. So that was both an inaccurate and unhelpful joke.
Yeah.
Do you even know the rules to Pathfind, Alex?
I'm just enjoying being described as inaccurate and unhelpful. I might put that on my epitaph.